Grace, tell us a bit about your own life.
Oh, my father was removed at the age of 5 as a little fair-skinned boy, and he could speak only fluent Burra double language, and some members of my family, before I was born, were sent away under the Aboriginal Honour Protection Act, which the South African apartheid used as a great model for their apartheid system. My dad, you know, constantly talked about how any of their people, like 40 different clans, were sent to Palm Island and supposedly as a punishment settlement. And if they were caught doing any cultural business, speaking language, they were brutally treated, such as beatings and humiliated. And
not to forget by Christian missionaries.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And superintendents and the police, they had carte blanche to do what they liked with our people because we were under the Flora and Fauna Act until 1967 when we received citizenship. And so Dad, when he returned, he never saw his mum again. His granddad was on the island. He had some relatives. And not just my dad. There hasn't been one Aboriginal or Islander family in our country that hasn't been treated in the same way as I'm talking about my father. And when he became exempt from the Protection Act in 1948, he married my mother in 49. I'm the third eldest of 19 children. And we couldn't get a house because Aborigines were classed as flora and fauna. And so my first dwelling was a tent, then an asbestos fibrillite dwelling with 25 people living in it, then a tin shack with no electricity, and then a condemned house. And if we didn't collect enough copper wire and bottles to sell, we starved. And we used to use sheets of tin and charcoal for homework, and most of our educational materials came from the city dump. And it was very difficult, but I was very privileged and fortunate to succeed against all odds when an Aboriginal
pretty
teacher.
Stark background to make it to where you are.
Oh, yes. A lot of people say, well, if you succeed against all odds, why can't all of your people succeed? And I said, well, why can't every white Australian swim for gold like Karen Perkins? We're not homogeneous. It's who's been given the opportunity. And if every Aboriginal Australian was probably given the support and made feel good about their self-esteem rather than the negative stereotyping which occurs regularly in the mainstream press and within government institutions, therefore the average white Australian is really blinded by what's going on, because while they're talking about immigration and Aboriginal people getting all this money, when it's three-quarters of our monies go to white public servants and consultants, and mostly jobs go to white public servants or whoever, the big picture stuff is not being followed up, like the sale of our beautiful country to overseas investments, to multinationals in bed with government, and doing all sorts of things while they're talking about immigration policies and what are we going to do with these Aboriginal people that get far too much money, when if they did some serious research, they'd find out only a quarter reaches the grassroots level. It's like a pack of hungry wolves fighting over a piece of raw steak, because we have diseases that third world countries have eradicated. One of the richest countries in the world who are assisting overseas countries in their poverty, and in our own backyard, First Nations people have got statistics worse than some of those developing countries.
Grace, how do you spend most of your life these days?
Reading, keeping up with grassroots politics. I do talks, I do massage. I'm still doing a lot of work, only it's basically unpaid. And my life expectancy is 50. I'm 61 this year, and I want to do a postdoc on the intervention. I'm absolutely horrified, not only writing about the intervention, but now both major parties have come together to move the intervention for another 10 years, which is very frightening. I very rarely get any sleep, because every day is a bonus that I wake up with a sound mind and a holistic body intact to hurry and finish my writings of postdoc. So black and white Australians can read that in the future and understand there was a struggle for justice in this community, and I'm optimistic that the more the truth is told by black and whites in this country, the better off our young children of today, black and white, will be in the next 30 years to 50 years onwards in a reconciliation process, and then everyone can be treated equal once our statistics are equal.